Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach, and I am sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is currently on a vacation. We wish her the best. We wish her relaxation, and we can't wait to see her back in a couple weeks. But for now, you got me, and you've got the board lord, Dr. Sly Calvin, on the boards. How you doing today, Calvin?
I'm doing great, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I gotta say, I was in the studios prepping for the show today, and Earl's show got spicy. Like, there was some spicy commentary, I must say.
Yeah, I think Sandy laid out some pretty indisputable facts, and certain people had trouble dealing with them.
I like the way dealing with them. He's accepting the facts is sometimes hard to deal with. Well, folks, you can always get in touch with us. You can always be part of the conversation. You can call or text. It's all the same number. It's 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. You can also follow us on social media. We're on Twitter. We are on YouTube. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Matinair on Air, or Civic Media. You can also comment on the live stream, which is also on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, because we still call Twitter in this household. And we welcome everybody on the live stream and all of you to the show today. We're going to be talking at 10:30 with Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio. We're going to talk about his experience at the DNC as well as his thoughts. He brought up some really good thoughts, Calvin, on third-party candidates during the presidential elections. It was one of those things where it's always right in front of you. It's totally understandable, but no one said it, at least in my lifetime so far. And he said it on the air, and I want to have him talk about the prevalence of third-party candidates basically only in the time of presidential campaigns. And we're going to discuss that at 10:33. He'll be here for the rest of that half an hour. And then Greg Wansnyder, who is a friend of mine. I've known Greg for about 25 years now. He is a Waukesha native. He is a Waukesha legend. He works at Carroll University. He's going to be in studio talking to us today about back to school, Carroll University, and all the other things going on in his life. Then at 11:30, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area is going to be here for a special announcement. I don't know what that's about, so you're going to have to tune in at 11:33 for that one. He'll be here on the live stream. And then finally, at the end of the show, I want you guys to think about this real quick. Calvin will be talking about his books of the year thus far. He'll be going over the list of books he's liking and giving some recommendations, Calvin.
Yeah, I got three recommendations. They are books I read this year. They are not books that came out this year.
That's fine.
But yeah, so if you have a favorite book or something that's really catching your eye right now that you've been reading, fiction, nonfiction, fantasy, literature, whatever you want,
yeah,
text it in. Maybe I will recognize it and we'll shout it out.
Excellent. Wonderful. We'd love to hear from you about the books you are reading, and they can be books that you are opening up and reading with your eyes, books that you're listening to on Audible or wherever you get your audio books. That's how I take in books. I listen to them exclusively because I like to listen to the books. I like someone reading to me, and plus I drive a lot, so it just makes more sense. Good morning to Tom Adler on the live chat. Thank you for joining so much. We're happy to have you here. And we're going to get started with, Calvin, did you know that September the 10th was what is supposed to be a very important day during this presidential election?
Yes, I'm familiar.
Yeah. It's going to be what we thought was going to be the only presidential debate that was going to happen between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. But that might not be the case anymore, because in a press conference, because, you know, he likes to talk to anyone who will listen, he said that at Arlington National Cemetery yesterday, and we'll get to that in a moment, but at the press conference he held after the fact, he said that he shouldn't have to debate at ABC because they are the worst network, the single worst network for unfairness. He really should be shout out that they are terrible. And he said that if there is even a debate. So once again, we have this guy committed to a debate, which was agreed upon by the Harris campaign. And then he said there were two more, one on Fox and one, I believe, I want to say on NBC. And then the Harris campaign said, no, that's not true at all. We agreed to one. And then Trump backed down. And now he's saying, well, once again, he no longer likes ABC, even though he agreed to be on ABC after all of his whining about them at the Black Journalists Conference that happened last month, where he made an absolute fool of himself and just an embarrassment. But yeah, he's possibly not doing it. And I just don't understand why. Why would he? He has so many things to say at all these press conferences all the time about how terrible the country is and how the inflation's not through the roof, which it isn't, and how the economy is terrible, which it isn't, and how Biden is the worst president, which he isn't, and how Harris is going to be the worst president. Why would he drop out of the debate, do you think? Beautifully done, Calvin. I just want to let you folks know, I didn't even ask him to do that. That's called improv, baby. That was a yes-and situation. It's true. Because he can't. And here's the thing is, he could easily go to a debate and talk about what he believes are failed policies of the Harris, of a future Harris administration and the current Biden administration. And he talked at length yesterday about Afghanistan. And that is absolutely something you can campaign about. But he doesn't. Instead, he just complains and he moans. And to quote President Obama at the DNC last week, he whines about it. So why not take this opportunity to get on stage in front of an audience where you're going to be on all the networks. You're going to be on the three major networks. You're going to be on cable. You are going to be all over the place and talk about it. I don't understand why he can talk a big game when she's not around, but the moment that she's going to be there, the moment that she has to say something in her favor that will make him look like he's wrong, he's running away. I don't know, Calvin. What are your thoughts?
Well, I certainly think either him or people around him are aware that he won't be able to handle himself very well in a debate with her. But I've also heard people speculating that his heart's not in the race anymore. He doesn't particularly care at this point.
Yeah.
And he's kind of just doing it for the publicity and to stay out of jail.
I mean, the staying out of jail is an important thing. Had he never done anything wrong, because he was convicted on 34 felonies and he is an adjudicated rapist, but that's beside the point for another day's conversation. He could have easily just been the GOP's elder statesman and toured around the country, going to talks, going to lectures, and doing all these things where he just was being praised and lauded and loved. And that's the only thing he ever really wanted in his life. But now, you're right, he's stuck in this campaign that he didn't want in the first place in 2016. And he's got to do it all over again in 2024. So, yeah, I think if you notice, he just has very low energy about it all. And I feel like what we saw with Trump versus Biden, which kicked off everything we're in now, honestly, you saw a composed Trump. And I remember Jane and I talking about this via text during the debate. He wasn't being this interrupting, unhinged type of guy. He was composed. He was speaking clearly, calmly. And I don't know about you, Calvin. I don't think he is capable of doing that against Kamala Harris for a host of reasons. And I think the main reason is because she's a woman. And I'm just going to say it right there. He doesn't want to be made to look like a fool, especially by a woman, but he just will not be able to compose himself because he did the same thing against Hillary.
Well, and now it's come out that Trump was actually a huge fan of the mics being cut off for each person during the debate with Joe Biden, and that the Kamala Harris campaign would like both mics to be on at all times. So to me, that is evident that he knows what he's saying isn't true or mm-hmm. supported by facts.
Yeah.
So if the person that he's speaking against is able to interject, it will make him look really stupid.
Well, I mean, honestly, like, you can interject whether the mics are on or off. And I think if the mics are on, it'll be too tempting for him too. Like, yeah, absolutely. Kamala Harris could interject. She could say, like, you are wrong and here's why. Thus and so, here are all the details. A, B, and C leads to X, Y, and Z. But I also feel like you open up those mics. I feel like they trained him so hard for that specific debate because the mics were off. They said, just say what you need to say and then be done. And that is it. And Brendan on the live stream, I agree with you. Absolutely. I think that the mics being on and her using the prosecutorial training that she has will set him off and he will not be able to handle. He will not be able to help himself. He'll have to say something and that's just what's going to happen. And it won't come off sounding good because he hasn't sounded with it for quite a while now. I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong, Calvin. I've been wrong many times. Hey, if I'm wrong, tell me. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment on the live stream. You can text us. You can call us. And let me know. I mean, I think this is kind of, I'm not shocked, but it's just like, just have a debate, be done, and move on. Okay?
I'm not convinced that he's not going to do it. Yeah. I think he just loves the spotlight so much. And as far as I'm aware, the Harris campaign said ABC was agreed on, I will be there whether he's there or not.
Yeah.
So I think tactically it would be an awful decision to not be there. You're giving your opponent an hour of free national television without you there. It would be boneheaded to not be there.
Oh, I completely agree with you. If you don't show up, I mean, that's free advertising. That is absolutely what would happen. And it would make him look like a baby, an absolute baby. So I don't know. I could be wrong. I've been wrong many times before, Calvin, but you know, I just want to see a debate happen. I would love to see that. I'd love to see a few debates happen. I'd love to see a town hall. I'd love to see a moderated debate. And then I think there was one between John McCain and Barack Obama where they actually sat down next to each other with a moderator and just had what seemed like a conversation, which was fantastic too. But I think he'll show up. I think he's just posturing and whining and using, honestly, a very inappropriate place like Arlington Cemetery to espouse this sort of complaining, but that's far from beyond his ability to do so and completely on brand. But we're going to go grab some water because it is hot out, folks. Very, very hot out. Heat advisory today. Stay hydrated. Stay cool. Stay inside if you can. And we're going to return with some more discussion on this matter as well as some talks about voting and polling. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, Calvin on the boards on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host for today and for the rest of the next 2 weeks, actually, because Jane is on vacation and we wish her the best. Can't wait to see her when she comes back. Folks, as I said earlier, please stay hydrated, stay cool. It is going to be hot throughout the rest of the week. Like, we're talking 80s, 90s with heat indices. That's the plural, indices in the 90s and possibly the 100s. I heard about Bosco Bell up north having some 114-degree heat indexes. So the point is, stay hydrated, stay cool, stay inside if you can, and just take care of yourself. That's what we really want to get across to that. So you can also get in touch with us by calling or texting, same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Call us, text us, drop a comment on the live stream. The live stream is a rockin' and a rollin', and Tony Zimmerman just starting fights with me. We want to talk. I've been wrong about things before, I said, Calvin. I've been wrong about things before. And he said, for example, about BLTs. I'm not wrong about them. I've mentioned it here. I've mentioned it extensively on Pat's show, how I feel about them. They're the anti-sandwich. They're terrible and they're not worthy of my time. So we're going to move on from there. Oops, did I talk about that? I did. But yeah, we want to hear from you. And we're talking about Donald Trump saying that there may not be a debate now. And is this a real threat or is he getting ready to get on the floor and throw a temper tantrum? Either way, that honestly, at the end of the day, doesn't matter, but it's not the important thing I want to focus on. I want to focus on a quote from the Washington Post regarding polling. And it says, as of Monday, the Washington Post polling average has Vice President Harris leading in Wisconsin by 3 percentage points in Pennsylvania by 2 and in Michigan by less than 1 point. Now, I'm only saying that to say this. Polls do not matter in the long run. Polls do not vote. Yard signs do not vote. Hats do not vote. People vote. And that's what I want to talk to you about right now. It's voting. Do not gloat. Vote. That's what you need to do. Be a voter. Go to myvote.wi.gov to find your polling place, to find out what's on your ballot coming up in November. That's November 5th. That's Tuesday. And find out if you are registered. Because here's the thing. Now, in Wisconsin, I haven't heard too much about these kinds of shenanigans, but sometimes voters get purged off the rolls, whether through nefarious acts of the state or through just the fact you have moved and not updated your information. Point is, you need to find out you're registered to vote. Go to myvote.wi.gov to do that. Register. Get ready. Make a plan. Take a friend. If there are elderly people in your life who need help to the polls or need help with early voting, do that, because it's important to make a plan to get that ballot cast, whether you're going to do it on the day, whether you're going to do it early, or whether you're going to do it by mail. Make a plan. Get out there and vote. myvote.wi.gov, because we want to make sure that your voice is heard. So that's the important thing. Remember, polls are fun to read, especially when your candidate's winning, but you want to make sure you're ready to vote. Calvin, are you ready to vote?
I am ready to vote. And one thing, really cool thing you can do on myvote.wi.gov.
Yeah.
This is a nerdy thing, so I don't know how many people are being interested in this, but you can see every election that you have voted.
Yeah.
So that's cool to look and see that I was not paying attention in 2021, apparently, and didn't vote in a 2021 election.
Hey, man, I get it. Like, people, I don't want anyone to throw shade on Calvin over this, because here's the thing. 2021, not the best year. 2020 was a bad year. 2021, we're coming out of it. I understand. At that point, at 2021, you were 21, 22 years old?
I was 23, 22. Yeah, somewhere in there.
You were young. You're still young. You're a child. I get that. I mean, I've got, if you look at my history, there are probably a couple primaries that I missed just because time slips and you're like, ah, darn it, I didn't get to the polling. But, but hey, don't look at that. Make yourself a plan then to fill out that card, essentially, on my vote.wi.gov, and get yourself, like we said, get yourself a plan, get the information you need. And we want to make sure that you know. And if you have any questions, let us know. You can always also send questions, comments, ideas for stories, people we should talk to. You can do that by emailing us at janesays@civicmedia.us, janesays@civicmedia.us. Now, Calvin, do you know where he made that comment about the debate? We're going to do this real quick.
Was it Truth Social or the Twitter?
No, he made this comment about at Arlington National Cemetery.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Yeah, because he went to honor the 13 people who were killed in Afghanistan 3 years ago, which was a terrible thing. But he didn't waste any time having a press conference after that to use it as a campaigning stop, which for me just flushes it all down the toilet. You want to go there and you want to honor the dead? Go for it. I'm there. I don't care who you are. Trump, Biden, Obama, Bush, fine. But you then make a spectacle of yourself and you start complaining about the government and you start whining about debates. I'm sorry. I think that's disrespectful. And that's just on top of all the other disrespectful things he said about the military, which, Calvin, I don't know about you, but like, I don't understand. And I'd love to have a conversation with military people who support Trump because of his just absolutely horrible things he has said about them. Suckers and losers. And I like people who haven't been captured, and going on and on from all these individuals who have talked to him over the years. It doesn't make any sense to me. If you're going to honor the dead, honor the dead, honor those who sacrificed, do it. But to then make it about you, which was inevitable, of course.
Well, I've been to Arlington National Ceremony on a band trip in eighth grade.
Yeah.
And It's hallowed ground. I don't even remember speaking the entire time I was there. Like, I cannot imagine holding a press conference from the way this sounds. Is that what happened?
It sounds like it. Yeah. They said he was speaking at Arlington National Cemetery.
Like,
I watched the ceremony itself. Nobody said a word. He didn't say a word. Nobody did. It was very respectful. It was very much what it was supposed to be. But then get in your car, go to a hotel, go to a coffee shop, go to an outside park, put down a podium, and then talk. But other than that, like, there's nothing else to discuss. Brandon from New Jersey, you've been waiting for a while. What say you?
Just wanted to say again, I said in the earlier show that, you know, it was just disgusting what he did with the photo op, standing there smiling with a thumbs up over a dead Marine's gravesite. And using it. And there is a rule in Arlington that they don't allow that type of thing. And normally, you know, it's just typical Trump. He just doesn't get it. Okay. And if he really wanted to impress everybody, he would have just gone in and done it quietly without the cameras, without all the fanfare. But this is all just photo op BS. And how dare he? And, you know, as far as the military goes, listen, I did my 3 years in the infantry, okay? And there are a lot of people that are in the infantry, you know, including myself, didn't do great in school, so we didn't score high. So, listen, you can either be in a tank, shoot artillery, or run around with a gun. What do you want to do?
So, Brandon, I'm sorry to cut you off right there. We're coming up against a hard break, so I gotta cut you off there. I apologize, but thank you so much for calling in. And I don't disagree with you. And it's not that I don't think he doesn't get it. I just don't think he cares. So thank you so much, Brandon, as always, for calling and putting comments on the live stream. We're going to take a short break. Get yourself some water. Get a snack. When we come back, Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow will be with us to talk about the DNC as well as third-party candidates. Do not go anywhere. Stick with us. Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation, and we wish her the relaxing fun she deserves. If you want to get in touch with us, please, please, please call 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment on the live stream. You can text with that number as well, or drop us an email, janesays@civicmedia.us. We'd love to hear from you. And yeah, it's great to have a discussion with you today, especially with the gentleman we have as our guest right now, joining us on the live stream and on air as well. He is the host of Up News North Radio. He is the founding editor of Up North News Radio. He is the guy who hosts Up North News Radio from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Oh my goodness, that's a shift. Mr. Pat Kreitlow, welcome. Welcome. Welcome, Matt and Aaron Air. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great.
All right. It's been a weird couple of weeks here between the convention and unusual schedules. And,
yeah.
You know, vacation fill-ins and things like that. So, you know, it's summer. we got summer brain going on right now.
I'm doing this gig right now. I'm filling in for Jane, which has been very, very fun. And as I said on your show, and I'm going to say again on this show, I thank Jane for the opportunity to do it, and I appreciate her trust in me to take over the show for a couple of weeks. But you had a busy time, too, because you decided to up and go to Chicago for a few days to, I don't know, cover a party or, a festival. It's like Lollapalooza, but for political nerds.
I'm still not sure exactly what I did or why I did it. I got caught up in what you could call Kamala Mentum or something like that. I had no plans to go to the convention. I thought it was going to be kind of moribund. I thought it was going to be like, well, here's Joe. We love Joe, but you know, it's Joe.
And yeah,
you know, much like, dare I say, the Milwaukee convention, which could have had higher attendance and more activity, but you know, a lot of Republicans were like, well, okay, it's Trump. Here we go again.
Yep.
And that's how it was looking for Chicago. And then between adding the vice president, but I also think adding, you know, Tim Walz, who adds a whole different dimension of joy to this campaign.
Oh, my gosh, the Midwestern energy.
Right. And I got to thinking, well, why wouldn't I want to be a part of this? Yeah. You know, go see it, be in the environment, report on it. And so I did go down and did take the radio show down there and reported on it. And I can promise you that I will never do it again with a 6 a.m. radio show. Doing it with a 6 a.m. radio show means you miss pretty much everything.
Yeah.
You go to the delegation breakfasts in the morning, which really are great. I mean, you've got everybody from Wisconsin that's anybody in party politics, Democrat or Republican. And so I have all of these interviews that I'm still processing with people, you know, from elected officials to local officials who become delegates to members of allied groups. And it's great to talk to them all. But then I would just go basically back to my hotel and work on editing all of those and then watching the primetime stuff in my room while I prep for the next morning's radio show, take a 5-hour nap, and then get up and do a 6 a.m. radio show. So I'll never do that again. I'm going back either with a different radio show shift or just as an observer, because the environment is still great. It's just not really morning show friendly.
I mean, honestly, I understand where you're coming from as far as like the, you know, when we did the RNC, it was, you know, it was fun to be on location and we had the beautiful backdrop of Milwaukee behind us, but you know, we weren't in there and it was not an exciting convention because everything had been decided like the first day and that was it. So, you know, and this was before President Biden, of course, dropped out of the race. So they said, well, you guys want to go to Chicago? And Jay and I looked at each other going, no. I mean, we're the 10 a.m. shift. I feel like all the cool stuff happens anyways when Todd Alba and the rest of the crew takes over. So we'd be like, we're coming live from the delegate breakfast. So we just didn't really have a lot of desire to go there.
No.
And then, of course, everything changes. I'm like, oh, man, can I get a credential?
Well, and I was offered credentials to go to the United Center, but even if I did, you know, between the crowds, the security, the late nights, it just would have been so much. I've been to one convention as a delegate back in 2008 in Denver. It was a fantastic experience. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it would be better for other people, other colleagues from Courier Newsroom to get to use those and get to be inside the building at the time.
Oh boy, this Pat Kreitlow guy, just so giving, so generous.
No, old. He's seen it all. Like, okay, let somebody with more energy go see this thing.
You kids enjoy your convention. I'm going to bed.
Taking my straw hat and leaving.
What are some of the highlights for you that happened? Whether it was, you know, I know you didn't go inside, but like as close as you were to the United Center, what were your takeaways? What were like the moments that were just like, oh, this, I'm glad I came.
Unanimity. Yeah. And I know now Democrats,
there's a word.
I know you're not used to that word.
No.
Unanimity.
No, they are not.
It was as close to it as a party left of center will ever get, because you'll always have people, you know, who are further to the left. And this convention really had the potential to be split on the issue of Gaza and Israel and the war. And there was certainly dissension within the ranks. But because of the special nature of the conditions of President Biden pulling himself out of the race on short notice, everybody coalesced around Vice President Harris almost instantaneously. Mm-hmm. At any point, it could have blown up with somebody saying, well, I'm going to be the, you know, the pro-Gaza candidate because I don't think Kamala Harris and blah, blah, blah. And then it could have very easily been Chicago 1968 all over again. It really could have been, but it wasn't. So the way that the party was that willing to put what they are bickering about off to the side played a role. And going along with it, by the way, you have to go back a couple of years. But they watched what Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema did in derailing some parts of President Biden's Build Back Better plan that never did get implemented into law. And I think far more so than when I was in the legislature, you know, 15 years ago, you had less tolerance for the one or two people that wanted to be a burr under somebody's saddle. It was, you know what? We're going to get party business done. We're going to respectfully listen to you, but the majority is still going to rule.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that either. I feel like, you know, the Democrats have one thing they do really well is allow tons of opinions to happen at the exact same time while the GOP's like, well, here's our thing. We're going to do our thing. Excuse us. We're going to vote. All right. We win. Bye-bye.
Yep. And yeah. Meanwhile, Democrats are forming the circular firing squad, you know, again.
And Michelle Obama put it perfectly in her speech. She said, we cannot Goldilocks this thing. We cannot look for something that's perfect. We got to take from a little here, a little bit there. We have to be willing to accept that it's not going to be perfect because nobody is. Absolutely nobody is. And I feel like, yes, there are questions to be had about issues. There are, you know, the accusation that Kamala is light on policy right now, I don't think is unfair, but I also feel like she's working on it right now because she wasn't running for president 2 months ago. She didn't right. wasn't exp- so I just think well, that the Democrats are doing right by themselves to just let the excitement take us for a little bit, and we're going to keep going until November.
And I honestly think Michelle Obama's speech will be one that is remembered as much more of a linchpin to the convention because of what she said, you know, 4 years earlier, when they go low, we go high. And
yeah.
since that time, you know, 4 or 8 years ago, people are going, was that really the best strategy? and this was her giving permission to say, no, when we get punched in the mouth, we point out, you know, all the ways that they deserve the metaphorical punch in the mouth from the voters.
Yeah, I've been someone used that line on me a couple weeks ago. Greg, when they go low, we go high. I'm like, I'm tired of going high. And I'm not saying yeah. I want to go lower. I'm just saying I want to fight back. I want to say something because yeah. I'm tired of having to go, you know, because even when she said that in 2008, Pat was adorable. The Tea Party wasn't even really around. I mean, George W. Bush was, I mean, it was an adorable time in politics. Don't at me if you disagree. I was just trying to make a joke. Point is that, you know, that was a laudable idea. You know, if the politics are getting a little dirtier, then we raise ourselves up. We pick ourselves, especially when you have a candidate who's being so closely watched like Barack Obama and Michelle, who's not even a candidate, being criticized from her height to her arms to her smile. So, yeah, you have to put on that thing of, yes, we must be better than them. And I'm not saying that we are worse than them by doing it, but there's got to come a point where you get hit enough in the face on the back schoolyard. You got to fight back.
Well, that's just what I was going to say. It's really a classic case of how to deal with bullies is at first you try to outlast them, outclass them, and eventually, if need be, you come closer to fighting fire with fire. Although I will add, it's not exactly fight fire with fire. Anybody that's dealt with Donald Trump has learned by now, you don't answer insults with more insults because then everybody gets dirty. You answer it with humor and belittlement. And the one thing Donald Trump hates is being talked down to and being called weird. Because if you're not just laughing at the ridiculousness, yes, he's still dangerous. Yes, the ideas are all still wrong.
Yes.
But there's been so much weirdness now that, frankly, it's quite okay to call it out. I wouldn't want every election campaign to look like this one, but this is definitely a special case.
Yeah. His viewpoints on what he wants to do on day one, Project 2025, and other things like immigration, those are dangerous ideas. Him touting how cool Hannibal Lecter is, that's just weird. No. That's just weird. That's not dangerous. That's weird.
The sharks and the electric boat motors.
That is one of Jane's favorite clips we play, is that just that what seems like a 2-hour rant about sharks, batteries, and would you rather be eaten by a shark or electrocuted by an underwater battery? But let's not,
I guess,
fall into that. Any other takeaways from the DNC?
Well, let's see. Apart from the unanimity, was also, again, the handoff of the torch, if you will, the rebuilding of the Democratic bench. As I've mentioned previously, during Obama's second term, the Tea Party year of 2010 and onward, about 1,000 Democratic legislators around the country were ousted in elections. I know because I was one of them. And for the next several years after that, the Democratic bench was extremely thin.
Yeah.
It was very hard to get people to agree to run for office. And that has definitely changed over the past 4 years. Joe Biden said, take him at his word, he was going to be a transition president. He just, I think, got caught up in all the victories that he'd won, and he was still caught up in the fight. But at some point, he had to be reminded, hey, in 2020, you said you were going to be a transition president. And look at this bench. Look at this bench.
Yeah.
Look at all those people who spoke at the convention. Not the classic rock hits, you know, the Obamas and the Clintons and things like that, but the new wave that's coming in.
Yeah.
Those are some great names and some great possibilities for, you know, the next few cycles for Democrats.
I mean, really, I never really thought about it until I think the handoff happened, is that, you know, we were looking at well, who could run for president? Who can run for president? And we're not thinking about Senate, Congress. We're not thinking of even local level. And you have all these fantastic leaders who showed up and like, oh my gosh. And a great, not just a handing off to Kamala, but like from the, and I say this with all respect, the party elders, those people who are in the boomer generation, to the Gen X and millennials saying, all right, it's your time now to take this party into the next 10, 20 years and then hand it off to the next generations. Because you saw that in the way, honestly, they were partying, the way they were getting down, the way that the old people were asking to be taught dances during the convention. I mean, you really saw that there was a generational voice there, and it was showing up in the way that they were presenting the entire convention.
They were ready to let go, seeing what's out there that's younger. I certainly feel the same way. I feel like, and I'm a very early Gen Xer, I felt like far too many baby boomers hung on for far too long and didn't give our generation a chance. Whereas our generation is now looking at the people, anybody under 40, and seeing all this tremendous potential and saying, here, come on in. There's plenty of room for you.
We're going to keep the conversation going with Pat Kreitlow on the other side of the break. But feel free to call in 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation right now, and we're happy to have you with us today. You can always call us at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. Text us. Get a hold of us. We want to hear from you. That's the incomparable Pink right there, who performed, an amazing a cappella song, I think with three other singers at the DNC last week. It was beautiful. And Pat was there. Pat's been talking. Pat Kreitlow is our guest right now. I've said Pat like everyone knows you. It's Pat.
It's Pat. Come on. Pink was singing with at least one of her daughters as well. No trapeze involved this time. No. For folks that are used to seeing her live show on tour. Nothing like that. And again, no Beyonce sighting, despite approximately one gajillion rumors coming through text messages and Slack messages and emails. And I remember the one day they were like, you got to get to the United Center by 3 p.m. or the Secret Service is going to lock it down, as if Beyonce needs more security, than the vice president of the United States. But it was rumor central. Still managed to have fun anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it took me about a day and a half to be like, wait a minute. Nobody showed up. Like there was no Beyonce. There was no Taylor Swift.
Nope.
I mean,
nope.
I will say that I think that the Chicks performed a version of the Star Spangled Banner that should be the only version sung now because it was so beautiful.
It was.
I'd never heard a version like that in my life. It was beautiful. It was patriotic, but it was also, there was melancholy in it as well. That was just, got me right where you lived. But,
and by the way, speaking of music, the roll call, 50 songs, 50 states,
50 songs, 50 states. And did I get a tongue lashing for the fact that I didn't know that Jump Around is played during Badger games at the fourth quarter. I may have gotten all caps text messages sent to me.
You may have. You
I
may
did.
Have.
I did. Yep, but okay. we got callers on the line here. Tom from LA has been waiting. Tom from LA, how you doing? What's going on? I hope it's not as hot out there as it is here today. What's going on, Tom?
Well, Greg, first, it's also played at the Packer games, just so you're
whatever. It's fine. It's fine.
Hey, Pat, being from the Durand, Wisconsin area, and where you're up north, I have a question for you. When is it that a reporter, when they talk to Donald Trump, is going to say, I don't care about your opinion, Donald? because all he does is he thinks he's Simon Cowell, and all he does is critique everyone else rather than answering a question, if you notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just waiting for a reporter to say, you know what, I really don't care about your opinion, Donald. I'd like you to answer my question.
We certainly watched them try at Mar-a-Lago a couple of weeks ago. Some tried a little more so than others. But I will say, in basically agreeing with you rather than giving a proper answer, I will say that I recall Dan Rather in his prime taking on then President Richard Nixon. I recall Sam Donaldson taking on President Ronald Reagan. It can be done, and yet nobody has stepped forward to really be that, again, that burr under the saddle who Trump is going to talk to, and you're going to get a candid answer out of him. He's just too good at acting the part of, like you said, Simon Cowell.
Well, the other thing too, and I am not a journalist, so but I something I've always thought about too, Tom, because I've had the same idea, and thank you so much for calling, Tom, is I'm sure that, especially when you are, like, these journalists are not billionaires. They're not even millionaires. They're probably thousandaires at best. But they traipse all over the country following this guy, and at the end of his little rallies, he points to the back of the room, and everyone looks around and boos at you. But yet they still ask the question, because I feel like if they don't, if they get personal, if they say, like, you know, if they try to shut him down in an unprofessional way, as they'd probably call it, there are repercussions. Like they might lose access to him or other people. So they have to keep it professional, have to keep the questions in a very pointed fashion, because if they don't, he'll just throw a tantrum and say, like, don't let them back here, and ban ABC or CBS. They don't get access anymore to anything. I mean, is that true, Pat?
Yes, part of it is access. And then part of it is they're looking out for their own careers. You know, the classic example to me is Katie Tour. Katie Tour appeared to be, you know, that aggressive reporter with Trump, but then eventually, because of her conduct there, she was given her own, you know, show on MSNBC. And, you know, now she has become almost, you know, part of the Donald Trump fan club. And mm-hmm. I think other reporters see that, and they just see the Trump beat as a useful tool for advancing their own careers.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling on that, Tom. In the couple minutes we have left, I just want you to talk about really quick, if you can, you said something that was very interesting on your show about third party candidates. And that was that if they were truly interested in being a third party or another party that had wanted to be powerful or do something, they'd be running all the time in all sorts of elections instead of just running every 4 years in the presidential elections.
It's a grift. It's right now, it's a grift. And that is not to say that this country doesn't need or deserve a third party. I think it does. I think there should be a third party, a fourth party, a fifth party, and we should have coalition governments that change with, you know, the national priorities, like you have in just about every other established democracy. We somehow managed to lock ourselves into this two-party system. But you don't just snap your fingers and make a third party happen. If you're doing that, it's not quite cult of personality when you're thinking like a Ross Perot or a John Anderson back in 1980 you know, Ralph Nader. Mm-hmm. It's not quite that. But again, it's very short-term thinking. If you really want to be a serious, different party than the Democrats or the Republicans, then carve out a position that says, you know, we're not just, for example, we're not just a left of center party. We're left of center on these things, but we're actually a little right of center on these things. And we're going to try to get candidates elected to the state legislature. And we're going to try to get candidates elected, you know, mayor or county executive or something like that. Build that base that we were talking about. And yeah, it's going to take a little time to do that. But then again, lightning could strike. And at some point, you guys look like you've got your stuff together,
yeah,
and suddenly you've built something, but you're not going to do it with a single candidate once every 4 years. Right now, that's just intentionally playing the role of spoiler or doing something where you're looking out for yourself to raise money or to raise your own visibility. It's an ego project.
Well, on that note, and a lot of people in the live stream are saying ranked choice voting as well, which is a conversation for another time. Pat, yes. always great to have you on the show. I will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. because I'm his producer on Up North News Radio. So we'll be together at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
A darn good one, too.
Thanks, buddy. Monday through Friday on Civic Media. Stick around. We're going to take a little break. We've got Greg Wansnyder here talking about Carroll University and just being an awesome person. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.